mothers.
And others.
Somewhere in the music industry, between sex and drugs and rock and roll and the Wiggles, is the rest of us. Music Mothers and Others is an audio parents group about popular music, a chance to discuss how parenting fits or doesn't into the music industry. During the series, we'll talk to people from across the industry, artists, promoters, techs, broadcasters, writers, academics, teachers, anyone who has a gig in industry, whatever that means. Hosts are Liz Dufresne, that's me, and Shelley Brunt.
Hi, that's me.
And we're industry veterans, academics and parents, as well as members of the broader village. So, let's kick off. Our first question, Shelley.
Are you involved with kids in your professional role, Liz?
I am. I'm involved with kids stuff, not kids directly. So I want to make that clear for anybody that's filling out their ethics proposal or doing their working with kids check, although I did do one a million years ago. So I increasingly have been researching about, I guess you'd call them kids music or kids media. So I wrote what I think is still the only academic article about the Wiggles that doesn't talk about them in terms of educational health. And I've been doing some research into Bluey, the Australian kids TV show with, you know, wonderful Australian musician, Dave McCormack. This is what happens when you have no sleep. Dave McCormack is the helm, is the main dog voice. So I'm really interested in kind of kids stuff that's counted as kids media and kids music, but also thinking about then how does that work for those of us that aren't kids, you know what I mean? And then as a journo, when I became a parent myself, I got thrown a lot of people to interview who were also parents with the idea of, oh, you lot can talk about babies. You can talk about kids. So kids have come into my professional role quite a lot, plus I have them. I had a professional role before I had kids, but I've had to decide how I negotiate between those two things. And so kids are involved in my professional role right now, insofar as my son is strapped to me as we speak. So I've got that kind of really immediate, you know, practical involvement and then a more academic and abstract involvement as well. What about you, Shell? How are kids involved in your professional role?
My research at the moment with kids has involved a really specific project in Melbourne with a radio station, a community radio station, PBS, for a series of concerts that have been running for a really, really, really long time called Rockabye Baby. And these have been live music gigs held in super hip Fitzroy at the town hall, where current bands in Melbourne that you would usually see in a nighttime slot, right, really kind of popular bands, will be playing it straight on midday lunchtime slot to parents, and parents, weary-eyed parents, would be bringing their baby strapped to them, kind of like Liz's at the moment, or having a pram being helped up the stairs by one of the great radio station volunteers, and sitting in a hall actually listening to music, or half asleep listening to music, or changing a kid's nappy on the floor, or letting the three-year-olds run down the front and actually watching bands and getting out. So my project's really been about talking to the parents about why they're there and why they want to go and see this kind of music and what they're getting out of it and what they think their kids are getting out of it and so forth. So I see kids in that way, and I talk to parents, but I don't talk to the kids, but I talk to parents about that. And then another thing I've been doing with my professional role with kids has been involved with you, Liz, which is some research that we've been doing on, of course, that song and that music video called, do you want to say it?
I mean, do we though? Because it's going to be stuck. We should give a content warning. Just if you're listening at the moment, just be warned, if you are a little bit emotional at the moment, you just might want to hold on to something or someone, because you're going to be a bit dependent now. We're studying Baby Shark.
Oh yeah.
Do 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 do. And that's all you need. Now it's stuck. Now they hear nothing else, Shell. It doesn't matter what we say from now on. That's
done.
All they're gonna hear.
Done.
Yes.
It's it.
Yes.
Baby Shark, the phenomenon of Baby Shark, and part of that was actually seeing baby shark live in Melbourne at the Sea Life Melbourne Aquarium, seeing a baby shark concert. So it's not baby shark doesn't just exist in your computer, on YouTube, playing over and over again, or on one of the many toys we seem to have at our house, which is baby shark. Baby shark bath time toy drives me a bit insane because it clicks onto the song when your child is in the bath and they put it in the bath with them, and it just swims around singing baby shark. So that toy gets tiresome quite quickly. And we also have a baby shark soft toy, which a family member gave as a birthday present, I believe, in the post. And that fortunately has an off button. So we can listen to baby shark and then we can just press it again and it will stop. So, but look, we're surrounded by baby shark in the bath, a soft toy, on our computers. And of course, when we went and saw it at the aquarium, the baby shark toy. So yeah, kids in my professional role, it's kind of creeping away from the office and creeping into my home life too. Yeah.
Yeah, or the other way around.
Yes.
It's taken the bath time and you've thought, you know what, why not? Just like I'm claiming my kids on my tax, you've thought, hey, let's work out why this is getting in my head and sticks in my head. Because the thing about baby shark is, isn't it, it is so, there's something special about it. The way that it works and it gets stuck and it earworms its way in. I mean, you know, there's lots of earworms in popular music, but baby shark does something particularly, I mean, special or evil, depending on your viewpoint. But it's a really interesting piece of work, that the way that it does what it does, and that's really what we're trying to study, isn't it? Yeah, and that's not. It also is one of the few kind of songs like that that crosses language barriers too, isn't it? Because it's not. Even though we know the English version, I mean, it came out of it's baby K-pop, isn't it?
It's baby K-pop essentially. Yeah, I think we traced it back to a camp, sort of a camp song, didn't we?
Yeah, but then there was a German connection and there was another European connection somewhere. It's like one of those, it's a folk song that somebody somewhere has monetized and then monetized again and monetized again. So that's the other thing that's interesting about it, is it's quite, dare I say, grown up and sophisticated, the way it's kind of had its most recent resurgence, you know, because it's made a huge amount of money, but, you know, by having this whole new audience. But that's... maybe that's a big chat for another podcast, shall we? Go way into the ins and the outs of Baby Shark.
Could be a Baby Shark deep dive. Can I pun that?
Oh, that's dreadful. Yes, you can. Because one thing I think we should really make clear is that even though we are mothers, we can make just as bad a dad joke as any dad there is.
Yeah.
This is a non-gender specific bad joke space, hey?
We have license to do that. And I think music for children, children's music, music that children love, all of those sort of names, there's so much room for bad jokes in there, isn't there?
Oh, so much.
Because you've got to laugh about it, yeah. So I'm going to ask you, Liz, what's your memories of music from your childhood?
Well, I had lots of music. I grew up with a really musical childhood insofar as both my parents love music. There was music everywhere. They had really different tastes though, which was really interesting because it meant that, you know, there was always a fight over the record player. And my dad really loved pop and show tunes, still does. And my mum really likes folk and classical, still does. So we had this weird kind of argument over the record player. And also too, my dad's a record collector. And so where most kids or many kids would spend their Saturday afternoon with their mum or dad, maybe down the park, we'd be going to secondhand record stores, which was so much fun and amazing. And I think really kind of gave me the bug. Also gave me a bit of an in too when I started as a journalist and as an academic. There's that kind of high fidelity cliche, or the old high fidelity cliche, that it's just dudes in those places. Certainly didn't see a lot of other little girls, I can tell you that much. It was only me and my sisters. But, you know, I'd be there rummaging through the K-singles, rummaging through the 45s, having a fantastic time while Dad and the other guys talked man, as, you know, you tended to do when you were tall enough to be able to reach the albums, because that's the other thing. We were the only, you know, K-singles and everything lived on the floor, which was at our height. That's what we did. We had a lovely time. So that's what we did. I spent a lot of time listening to music. Like I say, I played music, whatever was hanging around, I had a crack at. My dad played piano accordion and I'd always have a go at that. Although I have to say to you, piano accordion is not built for lady people. It's not built for boobs. What about you, Shell? What are your memories of music from your childhood?
Well, my parents were, I don't think it's much of a stretch to say, decidedly unmusical. So there was no instrumental performance, even though we had a piano, an unused piano in our house. There's no instrumental performance in my house. And my parents' taste in music is extremely limited to ABBA, Barry Manilow as well. We had a couple of Elton John records too. My dad would go overseas a lot for work, and he'd come back with a present for my sister and myself. And sometimes it was a cassette album. And so that's probably how I was introduced to Paul Young and Bruce Springsteen and things like that. But I really doubt that my parents actually listened to that kind of music. They probably just walked into a store and said, "What should I buy my daughters?" But at home, we just had a beautiful record player that I think, you know, I was probably the one that really got out the most records and played that kind of music. So I really had a strange introduction to popular music as such. I really loved watching musicals on TV, and my favourite was The King and I, and my sister liked The Sound of Music. So this kind of Rodgers and Hammerstein-esque, you know, elaborate footage and costumes and cute songs with wordplay, like that really shaped my kid life, I think. My memories of childhood with music, but also Sesame Street. And I was thinking the other day about how much I love that Sesame Street pinball cartoon excerpt where they have the ball going pow and going into the pinball machine. And the song is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And that was my first introduction to offbeat music. So this really kind of strange rhythms that weren't predictably 4-4 or 3-4 or something like that. And even today, I love listening to that. You can find it on YouTube. But perhaps my best memory of music from childhood is when I was gifted a stereo, a record player, double cassette deck, so you could dub tapes, and also
fancy.
And also it had a radio tuner as well. And so the first album that I ever had was the Tiffany album from 1987 with the hit single I Saw Him Standing There, I think she was calling it, which is of course my introduction to the Beatles. Can you imagine? It's kind of a bit of a it's a bit of a sort of
the fifth
left
Beatle,
of centre,
underrated.
Yeah, left of centre kind of underrated strange Beatles track.
Mothers
and others. So, yeah, I kind of really came to music from a sideways angle, I reckon, Liz.
I like that. And I mean, that idea too, that, you know, I love that vivid memory of when you first get your own means to play something. I remember that too, that kind of my first cassette player, which we used to use to record stuff off Rage or off the radio. So you'd have your own copy of something, and then inevitably you'd get one of your siblings in the background, or your mum or someone telling you it was lunchtime or whatever, and you'd have to shout somebody down, and that was forever kept in your copy of that song. It was beautiful.
Love it.
It's very good. The young people don't know this stuff these days.
No, it's just so, I guess it's so easy to access, just like, you know, click on your electronic device and find a song or Google it and there it is. It's, yeah.
There's no tainted version of Baby Shark, is there? So while we're getting there then, I mean, are we happy to say, Shell, are you involved in raising kids directly, like your parent or auntie or otherwise?
Yes.
What's your...
question to, I guess, set the scene for our broadcast is that, yeah, I'm a parent. I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I'm an auntie as well to, oh my goodness, 4 girls really, but sorry. I'm mixing up my kids. My family kids. 3. I'm counting them because some of them are overseas. 3 girls and 1 boy. There we go. So it's hard to see them all.
It's not a test.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, it's hard to see them all and hard to sort of share music in that way. The overseas ones, I can't sometimes share videos that we've made here at home with the instruments we have in the house. And we have mm-hmm. instruments in the house as part of, I guess, just my daughter's musical life. We've got a whole lot of kids' instruments, as we like to call them. So, you know, we've got xylophones and we've got a big glockenspiel and we've got shakers that she's made at childcare and all kinds of tambourines. We've got a cute little Japanese drum as well and kind of whistles. But we actually have a full-size electric drum kit too, which she is very happy to jump on and have a bit of a play with, which I don't mind too. So that's part of her musical life too. But I'll say that the musical life at home and part of my job with raising her has kind of intensified with the coronavirus and with lockdown. And so we participated in the Teeny Tiny Stevies, which is a kids band, I suppose you can call them, really hip, cool kids band. Music that doesn't suck, I think, is how they like to kids music that doesn't suck is how they like to phrase themselves. And they had a big, it was kind of like a kids activity, a competition they had through the ABC Kids community website, ABC TV. And the band had recorded during lockdown in Melbourne, which is where they're from, this song called Stay Home, about staying home in lockdown due to the virus. And the competition or the activity was that parents at home with their kids could record their own version and they would send it in with a video and they would splice it together. So we had an awesome time piecing together that song, playing it as a family. You know, I've got out the guitar and played that and had to sing or memorise all the words. And we had an awesome time and we made it to the final cut of the video, which was super cool. So my daughter had a great time seeing herself on the TV playing this song with all these other families in this awesome video collage. It was really great.
You're listening to 2SER FM.
In addition to the one that's strapped to me at the moment, I also have a toddler, and I'm an auntie, and I kind of have taken on board. There's the genetic auntie side of things, so I've got a niece and a nephew, but you know how you kind of end up being part of the village too. So I didn't have kids until a bit later in life, and before that, when my friends had kids, or I've got cousins who are quite a bit younger than me too, 20 years younger than me, I kind of took it upon myself to be the musical auntie that, you know, introduced them to the right stuff. So no child comes through my path without knowing who the Muppets are and what the response to Mana Mana is, which is, of course, to doo-doo, right? You know, you've got to know these things. And with my own kids, they're pretty little at the moment, but I'm still trying to make sure that they've got as wide a musical palette as possible. So we've got lots of music in the house, not just professional music playing all the time, but my husband and I try and make a point of singing and interacting using music, and, you know, it's never fantastic performances. Our little cotside karaoke is sometimes a bit rough and ready, but it's just getting them used to, you know, associating music with certain things. And I'll admit it's often a bribery tool, you know what I mean? Or, you know, particularly with toddlers, you know what it's like. Sometimes everybody's got to get their spirits up for something really mundane. Let's have a bath. Don't want to have a bath. Right, if we make it into a song, do we want to have more of a bath? Sometimes we do. And I do the same to keep myself amused when I'm breastfeeding too. If you just change the word boogie to booby, then all of a sudden breastfeeding for the umpteenth time in a day comes just a little bit more exciting, because you don't blame it on the sunshine anymore, Shell, or the moonlight, you know, all the good times. And I'll leave everybody there with that one. It's the booby.
Daddy, I'm coming in. Everybody. Daddy, coming to everybody.
It's time for The Kids and I Are Listening To, which is a section where we talk about the music we're sharing with the kids that we have in our vicinity, or that the kids are sharing with us at the moment. So Liz, what's happening in your world with kids and music? What are you listening to? Oh,
thanks, Shel. So the kids and I are listening to, my oldest is listening to Elton John, what she likes to call Rocky Man, which is actually Rocket Man, but she makes it sound like Sly Stallone should be involved, and it's very cute. I'm not going to correct her. Now it's Rocky Man forever and ever. And, you know, she can do all of the actions and all of the words, and it's just very, very sweet.
And I think it's going to be a long time.
I'm so winking down.
I'm a rocket man.
I'm fact, it's more with you. There's no one here. You raise him. Never seen.
And then my baby. His lullaby song at the moment is Better Be Home Soon, but not just any version of Better Be Home Soon by Crowded House. It's the one that Neil Finn and his sons recorded recently in lockdown, and he likes the video as well as the audio. So it's like this beautiful little black and white one shot that they've obviously just done in their home studio, because everybody's in their home studio, and he just stares at it mesmerized. So that's us, that's what we're listening to. But we've also, it's kind of, there's songs that we co-opt as lullabies. My husband and I decided pretty early on that we wanted to co-opt songs that we liked when the kids were little, because we thought we're going to have to hear this 1,000 times in one night, let alone over their lives. So the other things we listen to is No Rain. Do you remember Blind Melon?
I remember that because sadly that the singer died, and then the band was never to hear it again. Yeah,
he did. But that that film clip. Do you remember the film clip?
With the girl as the beetle or the bug. Yep.
That gets a big go in our house. The kids and I listen to that a lot, and we also listen to Tender by Blur for the same reason. It works as a lullaby because there's, you know, Oh My Baby, so we sing that a lot. And then there's a bit towards the end, it's a 7-minute song, which is good if you need to kind of say, how many times do I have to hear this? Hear it less often because it's longer, and it's got that bit in it, come on, get through it, which I find myself singing to them and to me at about 3 o'clock in the morning quite a lot. So
Thank you.
That's what the kids and I are listening to. What about you, Shel? What are your kids and you listening to?
Well, at the moment, we are very interested in Björk's music video for It's Oh So Quiet. And so that's from the very mid-90s, from the album Post. So it's absolutely my, I guess, my generation of music. And I brought out that video to show my four-year-old because she kept saying to me every time we watched a music video or saw something on TV, where are the girls, Mum? Where are the girls? She really wants to see girls playing instruments and girls singing. And she's kind of a bit like, I don't want to watch this if it's just going to be boys. And you know, there's when you're looking for it, there's a lot of bands out there with just boys. So I thought, oh, let's play her Björk song. And I chose this one and she absolutely loves it. So it's our getting ready for bath or shower at the end of the day one. And the video is awesome because it's practically one shot and it won a Grammy for the best music video, directed by Spike Jones. And she's Björk's in this like kind of a tire shop, a mechanic shop, and she's dancing. And It's Oh So Quiet is also mixture of this shh, shh, which I really like because it's calming. But then you have this explosion of Björk screams and yelps. And it's a song of awesome contrast. And when I first chose it, I couldn't remember the song so well. And it is a cover. She's covered a song from the, I think it's from the 40s or the 50s.
Is it really? But I didn't know that.
Oh. Yeah. The original ones are kind of interesting. But I couldn't remember about the loud parts. I only just remembered the quiet parts. And when I first was like, oh, let's get It's Oh So Quiet. That'll be a quiet song for the end of the day. But of course it's not. but she really, really loves it and can't quite sing along to it yet except for the shh, shh bits, which she does in an adorable way with her finger to her mouth. Yeah, that's what we're listening to the moment.
It's oh so quiet. Shh, shh. It's so... so still. Shh.
You're all alone.
What's next? You're so peaceful and chill. Da-da-da-da. You fall in love. Say boom. It's Saturday. Say boom. Sweating on you. And you fall in love.
Beautiful.
Goodbye.
We've come to the end of our first show. Thank you, Liz. Now, the rest of our shows are going to be really for music mothers and others, going to be interviewing people, talking to people about the intersection between the music industry and their parenting lives.
That's it. Yeah. Thank you, Shel, and listen back to us again. Thank you.
Thanks, Liz. See you next time.
See ya.
Music, Mothers and Others is written, edited and presented by Liz Dufray and Shelley Brunt. It's a radio show on 2SER FM in Sydney, broadcast on Mondays at 7:30 p.m. and also a podcast. Find our podcast episodes on Wooshka or at musicmothersandothers.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook and other social media outlets to see who we will be interviewing in forthcoming episodes. See you next time.